Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks again for listening in this week. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm joined by
David Paulson
and Tim Lane.
What's going on around here?
You know, the thing that's happening red hot as we speak is we have a wonderful group of interns who've just shown up for this year. And we are tremendously excited about the way the internship program is just deepening, enriching. We're able to involve all the faculty now. It used to be more sectored off with one particular faculty member. And we've got top-notch men and women coming in. And it was cute this morning. I happened to come in just as three of the young women were coming in, and they were like giddy fifth graders, just so pumped about they're starting their internship. And it's exciting to me, too, because we at CCF for years, when we've talked about what is our greatest weakness, it's the need for the hands-on training. You know, and you've got classes that have 20, 50, 150 students in them, you're not going to get hands-on training. And we recognize the need and feel like we're making some genuine steps to address that need.
Yeah, I think of a couple of things. I mean, one, what we're doing this morning with Andrew, your involvement now with our website, the video, the podcast, those types of things, just ramping those up, being much more consistent, and being able to do that and actually pulling it off on a regular basis is encouraging. That's new. It's been developing over the past couple of months since you've joined us. We're in the process of really looking, taking a hard look at relaunching the Journal of Biblical Counseling, and David's a significant part of that, and we're hoping to see that move forward. So those are some things when we talk about new initiatives or old initiatives that we'd like to redo, or things that we're thinking about.
Three questions. You guys ready for them?
Sure.
What is the longest and shortest lifespan of any pet you've owned?
The shortest for me is easy to define. A number of years ago, we rescued a Jack Russell puppy from the pound, from the SPCA. And after 3 days, it was either the dog dies or I die, or am sent to the nut house. And
did it just yap constantly?
It yapped, it nipped. Jack Russells have unbelievable energy.
Yeah.
I stayed home one day. The family was all going to the beach. I stayed home to work, but I had to take care of the dog, and the dog took care of me.
Yeah.
So the dog went back to the SPCA.
Yeah, my shortest was a hamster. I must have been in grade school. And we also had a cat in the house that had not been declawed. The hamster accidentally got out of the aquarium or whatever we had it in. I was playing with it in the room, and the cat, without me knowing it, slipped in because I think one of my siblings opened the door to come in, and the cat pounced on that hamster in a matter of seconds. And it was not a pretty picture.
No.
So I think the hamster lived about a day in the house.
How about the longest pet?
We have been privileged to have some absolutely wonderful dogs. As a child, a dog named Sparky, and then when we've had our own kids, a dog named Misty and a dog named Peaches, all of them rescues, all of them mutts. So we got them a little bit older, and they probably, I don't know the exact years, but maybe 7, 8 years, but just friendly, grateful dogs, grateful to be having been given a life after having been abandoned or abused.
Yeah, I've got a soft spot in my heart for Labrador Retrievers, and I had a lab named General. Got him from a AKC organization in New Jersey when we lived in New Jersey, and he moved down to Georgia with us, and he lasted about 12-14 years.
Oh wow.
That's long. So he was a good dog. We've replaced him since in our family with a black lab 4 years ago, so I'm hoping she'll last a good while.
Have you eaten any odd food lately?
I just came back from Croatia, and we ate a lot of squid. It's odd.
Yeah. Now, that's not like the calamari experience when I go into Chili's and it's all fried up and it basically...
No, this is a squid, and it looks like a squid. It's about The body's maybe 7-8 inches long. They've hacked off the tentacles and stuffed the inside of the squid with the tentacles and grilled it up on the grill.
Yeah, wow.
It's earthy, but it is delicious.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm doing anything that exotic. I'm just moving into a consciously high-fiber diet. So
nice.
Lots of vegetables and fruits, and throw a little Metamucil in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that really
always
odd,
helps.
Yeah, that is, yeah, that's yeah. Just, that is odd. Weird.
So, yeah, trying to attack
psyllium husk.
Attack the cholesterol, those fun things, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's of necessity. But
that's what happens when you get
that's
old.
About it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, when you start aging.
Start aging. How many people have you formally or informally counseled?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, I pastored for 10 years, been here at CCF for 10 years. I don't think I've ever even calculated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's well into the hundreds, thousands. And it's hard to say. I mean, if you're talking in a formal context, you know, that would be one number. If you're talking phone conversations that you've had with, you know, parishioners or friends, then the number jumps exponentially. But I don't know.
Yeah,
if ever
I'd probably say thousands and mm-hmm. give that general definition. Tim, mm-hmm. If I meet with a student, without fail, there's a counseling aspect mm-hmm. to that. They might have a question about the course, but there's questions about their life or their future. Or
mm-hmm.
We talk, encourage them, pray with them. Mm-hmm. In one sense, you know, this would be a biblical vision that if we are alert to what is really happening in the universe, every conversation mm-hmm. should be counseling
yeah.
in some manner. And that doesn't mean you're Joe Counselor talking with Josephine Counselee, but it's our words are meant to be edifying, constructive, timely, mm-hmm. grace-giving. That's counseling.
Yeah, I mean, you throw in conversations you have with your spouse or your kids, and the number just continues yeah. to go up.
So I hear you both saying that there's a difference between formal and informal counseling. So my question is, do you have to be a professional to be a counselor?
You are always a counselor, always, for good or for bad.
Mm.
So you think about a father who loses his temper when he's stuck in traffic and his family's in the car as they head on vacation. Mm. That entire family is being counseled that this is how one handles traffic jams, and you better stay out of dad's way if you happen to be the mm-hmm. metaphorical equivalent of a traffic jam. So counseling is what is happening in every human interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So professional, non-professional, I'd say if you are a human being, you are a counselor. And then that pushes you back to, okay, what kind of a counselor am I? A wise one or a foolish one?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to talk about counseling on a continuum, and you're moving from something like David just described, very informal. You may not even say anything. It's simply what you're communicating with your body language. I use the example in the class I teach. If the phone rings and I look at the caller ID and I frown and my kids are watching, I never said a word, but I've communicated volumes to them. You know, there are some people that are worth talking to, there are some people that you want to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
But then you move, that's very informal. Then you have maybe less informal, but still not in a professional context, your interactions with your spouse, your kids, coworkers, friends. But then you move in the more formal direction. And that's a lot of what we do here at CCF. It's a more formal context. It's weekly sessions. And we would say that all of that is valid, and there are different skill sets and skills that are that are appropriate and needed, case wisdom that's different. But then I would say we put all of that under what we would call ministry of the word.
Mm.
So the scriptures are shaping every bit of that from informal to formal.
Mm-hmm. We had a Ask the Counselor question that came in I thought was connected to this. And the questioner says this: is it possible for the husband and wife to be each other's counselors and still maintain their marriage relationship intact?
Hmm. I'm not quite sure I understand the question. I mean, immediately I think about my own relationship with my wife, and we're counseling one another all the time, whether it's through
it's
encouragement.
It's part of what makes your relationship intact.
That's right.
If you don't counsel each other well, it disintegrates.
Yeah, and it's encouragement. There are also times of difficulty and conflict where one of us raises a matter of concern in the marriage. It might involve the marriage itself. It might involve the way one of us is choosing to interact with the child, and we're trying a particular child, and we're trying to get on the same page in terms of how we deal with it. At that level, I would say that's utterly necessary and important if a marriage is going to be really strong and both husband and wife are growing in grace and participating in one another's growth in grace.
Maybe one way I'd amen to what you just said, and maybe one way I'd respond to this particular question is they probably shouldn't say, in fact, I'll take the probably out, they shouldn't say, I'm the counselor, you're the counselee. Mm-hmm. What they are is a brother and sister who are actually one flesh before the living God. And you think of that First Peter passage, joint heirs of the grace of life. So if my wife is struggling, that's my problem. Mm-hmm. If I'm struggling, that's her problem. We ought to be helping each other. We ought to be bearing each other's burdens. We ought to be able to be a sounding board that the other can unburden where they're struggling, and the other sorts of things Tim mentioned.
Yeah.
So I don't think you want the defined role, I am counselor, you are counselee, but you do want a sense that our interactions can be intentional, purposeful, and moving in a good direction.
Yeah. I would say maybe, and this is a question of, is one partner more spiritually mature than the other, and is there an imbalance in the marriage? And at that point, that's where you want to think about marriage as not an isolated community of two, but you're wanting to think about that marriage within the broader context of the community of God's people. And this is where a couple, if that's the issue, if there's an imbalance of spiritual maturity where they want to get other people to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage, the couple to say, is there another wise, mature Christian couple that you can get together with and begin to parse things and understand how to change and grow.
In fact, you wouldn't want the dynamic to be the typical, where that what typified a marriage is one of them is the fixer and the other one's the problem.
Right, yeah.
That's a very troubling kind of relationship to characterize a marriage.
And that's maybe why you guys would encourage people to come to our national conference this year, is because you have a community of believers where we're going to be learning all sorts of things that can help us grow in our marriage and our love for one another. And with all these other couples and people learning alongside us, it may be an opportunity for people to bounce things that are going on in their marriage off of other believers.
Yeah.
One strength of the church and its public ministries is each partner is equipped with some tools of questions to ask, things that it'll prompt thoughts. So I have no doubt many, many, many conversations will be stimulated during that weekend.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Good.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.